Didn't know I was going to get all that kind of introduction. So I've got one of those, you know, you're getting old stories for to start off with this morning.
But I forgot to mention cell phones. Please silence your cell phones.
So you know you're getting old when you go out the front door and you go to turn the knob and your back starts spasming. So the good thing is that was yesterday. Bad thing is it's still hurting today. So anyhow, I think we'll make it through it. Good drugs in me, and so we should be good to go. Good. Oh yeah, medicine. That's right. Speaking of drugs, so Joe leads our Next Steps ministry. I don't know if you know much about that, but Next Steps is a discipleship ministry for addicts. And we do that every Friday night, and you're going, man, I never heard about that. And that's because we don't really promote it. We don't want it to make it another AA type of meeting or Celebrate Recovery meeting where you can come randomly. It's legitimately a discipleship ministry for those who have life-dominating sin issues in their lives. And so whether that's alcohol, drugs, pornography, food, whatever it is, whatever the addiction is, Joe and his wife Sandy lead that every Friday night. So if you're interested in that, maybe you know somebody in your church or in our community or in your family, or maybe that's you. Joe's the guy to talk to about that. So we have a few different people that I want to introduce this morning. Pastor Chuck Aaron is in the back there. He's got one of these cute OIC shirts on too. So Chuck is a ACBC certified. He's OIC with me as well. And he's also a church planting pastor in Claremont. And so what's interesting about that is a couple years ago, I was teaching in Alaska, and a friend of mine was planting a church, and he said, the way we're planting a church is that all the elders have to be ACBC certified. I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. And I said, why would you say that? And he said, well, if they're ACBC certified, he said, then I know, number one, if they can pass the theology exam, they have good theology. He says, if they can pass the counseling exam, then they know how to shepherd. So what's the requirement for an elder, right? Is to shepherd and teach people. So, Chuck, I don't know if that's what you guys are doing over there or not, but I know that's the direction you're going in the church over there. So ACBC guys we're growing, right? So, and then Rebecca Faulkner, and I didn't tell any of the other people I was going to introduce them. Rebecca Faulkner. Rebecca is ACBC certified for how long now, Rebecca? How long has this been? Probably 4 or 5 years? Yeah, okay. Yeah, so 4 years. And so in Marion County, it's just Rebecca and I are the only certified biblical counselors here. But Janky, where's Janky at? There she is. So Janky is on her last phase of counseling certification, so she's doing all of her supervised counseling now. So she'll be certified, well, if you pass that part. It's, you know, honestly, it's the best part of the whole thing, I think, is when you have one of these fellows that are just supervising you and mentoring you through the thing. It's fantastic part of the process. So Janky's on her phase three, and then Sandy is phase two. So she is doing all of her exams, and I think she's almost, you're pretty much done with your theology exams, and now the counseling stuff. So it's been neat for me. You know, when I got here, I was the only one, and had this real big dream of one day we would train people here. You know, and that's what we're doing. And so, real quick, my wife is not here, but that's her, Sherry. She thought that this would be a great weekend to schedule a family trip to Disney, and so. So they've got all the kids, and you know, we've got 8 kids, 7 grandkids, 36 years. In December, we'll be married. We've been in Ocala since September 2010, so almost 12 years. Was certified ACBC back in 2009. Used to be NANC. Anybody familiar with NANC? I know Chuck's familiar with NANC, right? Just a few of us, huh? So it used to be called NANC. Which stood for the National Association of Nuthetic Counseling. Come on, you can come up front if you want. The National Association of Nuthetic Counselors, okay? But every time you told somebody that you were a nuthetic counselor, what was the next question?
What
What's nouthetic mean, right? And so the Greek word, nouthetēo, it means to admonish. Sometimes we translate it admonish. Sometimes we translate it teach. Sometimes it's translated as rebuke or exhort. And that's nouthetic counseling, right? And so the idea is, if you had a little kid, you know, 3 years old, and he saw that glowing stovetop, and he says, "Mommy, I want to touch that." Well, as a mom, you'd go, "Of course you can touch it." No, you would say, "No, don't touch it," right? That'd be the worst thing you do. Don't touch it. And so you would do whatever you had to make sure they didn't touch it, right? Why? Because you love them. If they did touch it, would you say, "Told you so"? No, you'd comfort them and care for them. You'd, you know, cool them off and everything else. That's nouthetic counseling, okay? We meet you right where you're at, whether that means you've touched the stove or whether that means you're moving in a direction that's touching the stove. And we love you so much that we don't want you to do that. The problem is nobody understood nouthetic. And so I don't remember when it was. It's been a few years ago now, but they changed the organization's name to the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. Here's the problem with that. As soon as they did that, everybody who has the name Christian Counselor behind them said, "Oh, we're biblical counselors too." But they're not, right? Not dogging anybody or anything else, but they're much different than nouthetic counseling. And so I actually wish that we would go back to the nouthetic counseling idea rather than just biblical. And so I want to introduce the training program to you. And so if you're in your notes, this is the brief transition introduction to the training program. My goal is by the next time we're here, we'll have another TV. We'll probably move the room around. I know it's kind of tight, right? We've had a couple other churches that have offered that we could do the training there. I don't know what the best thing is to do, so I'll leave some of that to you guys. Because I know it's kind of tight, but I really like to have tables. So tables are easier, aren't they? Most of the training we do is you're just sitting in a seat, but I think the tables are better. So there's going to be a couple of terms that I'm going to use interchangeably during our time together. You'll hear Joe said it earlier. He kind of meshed them together. He said soul care, biblical counseling, I think is what he said. You'll hear me say soul care, discipleship. You'll hear me say biblical counseling. All of those are just interchangeable terms. You'll hear me use the word nouthetic. That's what we're talking about here. Probably the best way, if somebody said, "What are you guys doing on the second Saturday of every month for a year?" We are discipling. Okay, that's what the best way to put it. Biblical counseling at its root is discipleship in its purest form. Okay, it is discipleship in its purest form. You ask anybody in here, you say, "Does your church make disciples?" Everybody will say yes. Everybody. The question becomes, well, what's a disciple? How do you know when they become one? So if you don't have a goal that you're moving towards, how do you know if it's successful or not? Right? So what we do in the soul care discipleship process is there's actually a goal. Like, we understand what that is. We're moving in that direction all the time. Because it's one thing to say, well, somebody comes to you with a problem, and what we usually do, you know those, you know, you go to the fair and you see those ducks that are kind of going on, just like, ping, you hit it, ping, ping, you know, you're knocking them down, you're getting prizes for all that. Well, that's what a lot of people do. That's what they think the Bible's for, right? So somebody has a problem, they go, "Oh, here's a verse for you." So, I mean, they throw another verse at you. It's the old McDonald kind of training, right? Here's sin, there's sin, everywhere is sin and sin. And you just get a verse and a verse and a verse and a verse. And if I get you covered with enough verses, then you're fine. Except they're not, right? They become really good at faking being fine, but they're really not fine. So what we do is we say, well, yes, this is a filter for all that we know that is true is right here. Right? It's our primary source for truth. The problem is we don't really know how to use it. Like we find somebody and they're in this part of their life, they're struggling with something, and we know that they could be over here. We just don't really know how to get them there. Right? We know this gives us the answers to that, but how do we use this to get them from there over to here? That becomes really the challenge, doesn't it? And so it's not that we don't love Jesus. It's not that we don't love God's word. Not that we don't love other people. It's that we do actually need training to know how to best serve the people that are around us. And you'll hear us a lot of times in saying, I think it was Chuck that said earlier this morning, well, I like the term soul care and discipleship. You know, a lot of people didn't sign up for this, I'm certain, because it had the word counseling in there. Biblical Counseling Training Conference. As soon as you say counseling, people say, oh, I'm not a counselor. You are, okay? Every time you give advice, every time you try to give comfort, right, you're a counselor. If you use the Bible, then you're a biblical counselor. You're either a good one or not so good, right? But I think it was Brad Bigney, I liked what he said. He said, what we're doing in our training, it's just teaching you so we can have real people helping real people who have real problems using your Bible. Okay, that's what we're doing. So it's really simplified in that. And when I used to teach this early on, I would always say nobody wants to be counseled. There used to be a stigma about counseling, right? That's not true anymore. It's actually cool to have a therapist. Have you noticed that? All the Hollywood guys, all the professional athlete guys, they're talking about their counselor or their therapist. It's become this really in thing to do is to have a counselor. I tell this story about Tim Kelty. First time I ever met him. If you know Tim, Tim's kind of out there. Like, he's great, great guy. You know, addicted to drugs a long time. And first time I met him, it was during COVID. And we were at the YMCA, and they were we were packing up food for some folks that were doing a food giveaway. And I got there late, and so I walked in the front door and was talking to some of the leadership there. And Tim was in the cafe, so he's probably, I don't know, 50 feet away or something, 100 feet away. And he starts yelling, Pastor Mike! And I'm thinking, I have no clue who this is. Pastor Mike, I love you, man! I'm thinking, no clue who this is at all, right? And it's COVID, like right in the heart of COVID. He starts hugging me and everything else. And he yells and he says, we're doing counseling this week. I'm starting counseling with you. I am so excited to start counseling with you. I'm thinking, everybody doesn't need to know that we're doing counseling this week. You know? Like, nobody actually knows that. It's just me and you. Like, we're, you know, private. But that's just him. You know? Hey, but you know what? That's normal now. People ain't ashamed. Not saying you should be ashamed, but they're just, it used to be a stigma tied to counseling. Not anymore. Not there anymore. And so my goal has always been, how do we get this type of training to the churches in Ocala? So what usually happens, or what often happens, is a church will refer somebody to come to us for counseling, which we don't mind at all, okay? So we have four requirements for anybody we counsel. We say, you have to be teachable, you have to be honest, you have to do your homework, and you have to be in church, okay? We want them in your churches, okay? That's our goal. We don't want to steal people. What ends up happening, though, is they're being shepherded by us. And I can't tell you how many people say, you know, you'd know more about me or my marriage than anybody else, including in my church and my pastor. We're being shepherded here. Can we just come to CBC? I don't tell them no. I always say, go to your pastor. Make sure your pastor knows you're not running from something, you're running to something. But I hate it. I would much rather equip the pastors in our community to do their own counseling. Really, I would. And where it flows from that, and what we're seeing in here, and you guys that aren't familiar with Community Bible Church, you know Ephesians 4, where it says, like, pastors and teachers, like, it's our job to equip the saints. It's the saints' job to do the work of ministry. My job to equip you to be able to counsel or discipleship. Your job to be able to disciple. So we've got, I don't know, 50 people or so in here this morning. I would say probably around 35 are CBC people. You know how exciting that is for me? You know how much time that takes off of me to counsel and everything else, to shepherd? If the body as a shepherding one another. And so, we'll spend 12 sessions doing this, right? That's what we do. We have, as a church, the greatest news of all time, right? Not just for salvation future, but for sanctification today. Like, we can actually help people to grow. And so most people, they think that it's the pastor's job or the staff member's job to do all the training. Okay. Yes, we train. But we want you guys to actually counsel one another. Okay. We want you to care for one another. Most of the time, when somebody comes, in fact, I had just recently a pastor said, I've got a couple of people that are probably going to be calling you. They approached me about counseling, and so they're going to call you. I refer them to you. And they never called me. Why did they not call me? They wanted to talk to their pastor. Okay, I get people all the time. They'll say, oh, my friend, you know, wanted me to, was looking for, had this issue, and I didn't know what to tell them. So I told them to call you. And they never call me. Because they didn't want to talk to me. They wanted to talk to you. So I feel like if we can equip the church, and the church does that work, exponential growth in that sense. Okay, so that's really what the goal is. So we're with OIC is kind of that term you'll hear put around. What is OIC? What's our mission statement? Maybe I'll flip it here. There we go. We train biblical counseling trainers around the world for the glory of God. Notice it says we train biblical counseling trainers, right? Rather than simply teaching you how to disciple, we teach you how to make disciples who make disciples. Does that make sense? It's actually 2 Timothy 2, isn't it? The things you heard me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Like that's our role, that's our job. So ACBC is the largest certifying organization in the world. You see the IABC as well, International Association of Biblical Counselors. That's where Chuck was originally trained through and was them. OIC, and you're going, where's OIC fall into that? OIC is an official training center of ACBC. Okay, so for years I was like, oh, we want to have our own training center. We call ourselves a life center, and so we want to be our own training center. But the work that it takes to get there, I mean, you've got to do so much. You've got to reinvent the wheel in many ways. You've got to have a certain amount of hours, and just the time that it took, I kept thinking, there's no way I can do it. So we would do this kind of training on a local level, and we'd say, unfortunately, it doesn't count anyway towards ACBC certification. But I'm sitting there at an OIC conference recently, or a couple years ago, and I was telling the director about, man, this is just real troublesome for me, because we're doing these things, but we can't move towards certification, and so people are frustrated. And he said, how long you been with OIC? And I said, like 4 or 5 years now. And he said, well, we're an official training center of ACBC. He said, use the OIC material, and now, just like that, you're an official training center. I went, are you serious? It's been that easy? And he's like, yeah, why not? So that's what we do. So I get this great opportunity to go to so many places to teach. I'm not sure why my remote's not working. Our strategic objective is to assist in the initial creation and or continuing development of national biblical counseling certifying organizations. Okay, so this is really the big picture of what we do. That term overseas instruction and counseling, it's actually probably not the best term. It's a very Western term, isn't it? It means we're going to them. But what about when Australia or the Philippines, when they then train, what's overseas to them? Right? So if they go to another section of the Philippines or they go to another section of Australia, what's different? Like, it's not overseas. So I wish maybe someday that will be called global instruction and counseling or something like that. But it's really neat. So where do we serve? We serve And this is an old map, by the way. When you go online, you can see more. But literally all over the world. Bunch of different countries more. There's actually, and it's funny, because every now and then I'll go on there and I'll think, man, what countries are available? And there's just a huge list of countries that are saying, please come to our country, train us. And the one that's most intriguing to me is Iceland. And I think, oh, I'd love to do Iceland. That'd be fun. I'm leading the South Africa group right now. Been to a number of these places, and it's just, I just love it. Absolutely love it. These are our missionaries. So this was an old picture. This is before I was there, right? So now there's 39 different couples that are with OIC. So pray for this guy here, Andre. I taught with him in Ukraine November of last year. And his life is completely turned upside down. He's actually now has volunteered to be a chaplain on the eastern side of Ukraine. And so he goes there for about a 10 to 14 day period and just ministers, serves the troops in the heat of battle. And he comes back for 3 weeks and then he goes back again. And so, yeah, he's really in the midst of it all. And so how do we do it? Is we have church leadership training module programs. Okay, that's they're modular programs, and we'll explain what that means in a few minutes. That's what we're going to be doing here, is church leadership side. But we also have academic or graduate programs. Okay, so many places around the world, you can see an MABC, and they're even developing a doctorate program as well that's being taught. Now you're probably thinking, okay, well, what is it? All right, well, that's module one. The way we typically do with OIC is we go in, we do module one for 3 days, and then, but not three full days. It's really a day and a half, a long day and a half when you count the hours. And we do 6 months, every 6 months. So we do module one, say Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then module two is 6 months later. So I was in South Africa in March, go back again September, October to do module two. And then we'll do module three and then module four the same way. Honestly, I think 6 months is too long in between. In fact, the countries we go to, they're saying it's too long in between, but it's really hard to do South Africa every 3 months, you know, when you have a church to pastor and a whole bunch of children and stuff like that. So which is the situation with most of the OIC missionaries are pastors and dads and moms and husbands and wives. So the first module is, what is it, right? What is biblical counseling? We'll train you in this module. So the way we're doing it, rather than 3 days every 6 months, we're just going to do one morning, second Saturday of every month. So module one will take you 3 months to do. And we'll talk about philosophies in counseling. We'll talk about man's needs, where man is at, the role of God in counseling, the role of the Holy Spirit in counseling, the role of the church, the role of fellow Christians, the role of pastors. How do we do that so that we all grow to maturity? So that's what we're going to deal with in module one. So it's more theory in module one. Module two is, how do you do it? Okay, so this is really the nuts and bolts. And so there's key elements to biblical counseling. And when I say biblical counseling, I know sometimes in your mind you're thinking, okay, so me sitting at a desk or at a table, the other person sitting over there, and we're meeting like this. That is true in many senses. Okay, but a lot of times it's just meeting at a coffee shop. Sometimes it's just, hey, I'm really hurting, and you come to your house. So it's very informal. So don't always think counseling in a very formal sense where I've got a yellow pad of paper, you're on the couch, and I'm asking questions, and you get to talk. Right. I know that's what most people think of. Listen, a number of people in here have been through our counseling. That's not what we do. They can tell you that is not what we do. So module two is, how do you do it? So real specifically. And then module three is, how do you do it better? So in other words, so every country we go to has unique things with their country. Okay, so module two is, this is how you do it. Module three is, these are the specific problems that are unique to this country, so we'll train you in those things. For instance, South Africa, a big thing there is the youth. A huge problem with the youth in the church. And so how do we counsel these 17, 18-year-olds that are being pulled away by the culture? Well, my goal is next March that we'll bring a group of youth that have been trained here, that they can go over and start to work with those other young people. A big problem there is husband-wife relationships. They culturally, they buy their wives. Okay, and you go, well, you know, kind of cool with me with seven daughters, right? I'm a rich man, buy all them girls, you know? So the question's always like, what does a good woman cost, right? 12 cows. 12 cows. That's good retirement, 12 cows. And so I asked the question, what if she's strikingly beautiful? 15 cows. What if she's strikingly beautiful and has a college education? Yo, 20 cows, 22 cows. Which I thought was really intriguing, you know? I think, well, I've got beautiful, educated daughters. And I said, well, how does it affect the way you treat your wife? And the pastors said, my wife is my property. I treat her any way I like. And therein lies the problem. So how do you do it more effectively? So when we go there in March, so this, when we go September, October, we're going to go over and share. This is how you do it. These are the key elements to the counseling. When we go over in March next year, it's going to be, this is how you do it. This is how you counsel families and men and young people. So for Module 3 in Ocala, what are the big needs in our community? Okay, marriage. What else? Rebecca?
I want to add that I learned at the conference a couple of years ago that counseling is different. You don't counsel a 13-year-old girl the same way you would counsel an 82-year-old woman.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You have to know not only the demographic background of the person, but where their stage in life is.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll get to all of that. But what are some of the issues in Ocala? We said marriage. What else?
Youth.
Yes. Addiction. What else?
Mental.
Depression. Mm-hmm. Right? Did you guys see the article just came out, the study just released? Trina, did you see that? On serotonin and mental illness and depression. No link at all. No link. So here we've got antidepressants as the number one most prescribed medication in America because of chemical imbalance in the brain, so to speak. And the study came out probably 3 weeks ago. Huge, bombshell type thing. So there's no link. In the biblical counseling world, we've been saying that for years. We don't know. I mean, I'm not a doctor. That's why I asked Trina. She's a doctor, you know. But I don't know that. So I don't ever prescribe and tell somebody to get on meds, and I never tell anybody to get off. That's not my role. Okay, but I thought it was a very, very interesting conversation. How then is your church, the people in your church who are on antidepressants, they read that and they say, I want to come off. Where are they going to go to for help? Who's going to help them if we're not trained, right? And so module 3 is, how do you do it more effectively? Module 4, and that's my favorite part of it all, is how do you share it? Okay, how do you make this the part of the DNA of your church? And in fact, guy from Jacksonville, from the counseling center there, called me this week, had heard about this training, had heard that we were doing it in the Marian Baptist Association building. He said, how do you get, as a non-denominational church, to be in this church, or to be in this building, to do it here? How do you get it to be advertised among the Southern Baptist pastors in your community? And I said, I have no clue. But I think it's because when we started, we were a church of about 18 people, 20 people. And so we were not a threat to anybody, right? And I think also that a lot of the pastors have seen, man, they actually do care for our people. They counsel our people. They're not trying to steal our people. And so it's been really good for that. So how do you share it? To me, that's the best part of it all. And for a lot of the guys will have me come over and share and help in module 4 because we're a church that actually does it. About 60 to 70% of our congregation came through our counseling ministry. Okay? 60 to 70% of our congregation on Sunday morning came from our counseling ministry, which is really interesting because it's created this, and we didn't try to do this, but it's created this group of people who are very transparent. Okay? We're around 200 people now on a Sunday morning. Okay? Very transparent. And what's really funny is that when we get visitors, and we get visitors every week, you know, one of the requirements is you have to be in church. Well, not necessarily our church. It could be a bunch of good churches in our community. But if you don't have a church you're going to, then we require you to come to CBC. So when people come and visit, our folks think, man, I bet their lives are kind of jacked up right now. They probably need somebody to care for them. So they're just really friendly and loving, and they think, oh, you poor thing, you're probably going through counseling. That's why you're here. Not necessarily true, but it is kind of funny. But I will say this. This is a, ooh, it's working now. So this is not a seminar. Okay, it's not a conference. ACBC, their requirements is that you sit and listen for 30 hours. That's it. If you sit and listen for 30 hours, at the end of 30 hours, you're done. We are much different than that. And so we have four modules, you'll see. And so I split these four modules into 1, 2, and 3. So we have module 1, weekend 1. That's where we're at now. Next time we'll have module 1, weekend 2, module 1, weekend 3. And then we'll do module 2, weekend 1. All right? So here's where it's, and a lot of people have asked this. Is this the same 30 hours that I've gotten from ACBC? I've went through the videos. Yes and no. Okay, some of the talks are going to be really similar. I would say this. I went through track one training probably 5, 6, 7 times maybe. A lot of times I'll go to a conference and there's an advanced track or something like that, and I go back to the training conference, to the initial one. And the reason for that is these foundational truths heard from other people are so beneficial. And so that's why I'm so happy. Pastor Chuck is going to be speaking next week. Next month we have Pastor Chuck and a guy named Steve Spires, who's coming from Louisiana, that's going to be speaking. The last thing I want to do is have my voice to be the only voice you guys hear in training for counseling, okay? Because I don't want copy-paste of me, right? The way I counsel is going to be different than the way you counsel. My personality is so much different than most people. It's just different. So I want you to hear other voices. I introduce those folks because I want you to ask them questions and not just me. And so here's where we're really different. So between module 1 and 2, we have these projects for growth. Now, some people call it homework, but we don't like calling it homework because homework sounds punitive, right? And so if you call it homework, then people are going to think, oh, I got to be back in school again. And so between each module, you'll have this. Here's what's really good. So by the time you get to the end, I'm just going to fast forward all this stuff. By the time you get to the end, you're ready to start your exams. You've done supervised counseling, or you've supervised the counseling. You've read the material, right? You've gone through the training. You're actually ready to take your exams. Okay, that's the difference. This is different. It's different. It's not a seminar. Okay, seminar, you just come and listen. It's not a conference. Conference, you just come and listen. It's a training program. It's a legitimate training program. We've got these books in here by the time we come back next month, we want you to read 3 chapters in there. You'll notice there's a bunch of little booklets back there. They're called help booklets. They cover so many different topics, right? We want you to take one of those booklets home. Okay, read it. Next month you come back, within your table, we're going to give you about 30 minutes. Talk about how this help booklet was helpful. Okay, we want you to interact with this. We want you to interact with in here as well. Here's where it's hard. We've got 12 months, right? And I know you probably have a ton of questions, maybe comments and stuff like that. So we're going to limit some of that. Ask good questions anytime. What's a good question? Okay. You know how your teacher said there's no such thing as a dumb question? That's not true. There are definitely, I'm not saying I've ever been, well, I am saying I've been asked some dumb questions. But just think about this. We're going to have 12 weekends, 12 Saturdays, right, over the next 12 months. Most of the questions you have will be, we're going to answer as part of our normal stuff. It's not saying don't ask them. Just make sure they're good questions. So what's a good question? It's a question, not a commentary or a story. Okay? And I know this sounds arrogant. I'm the only one that gets to tell stories in here. I don't mean that in an arrogant way. We're trying to get through all the material. And I know you've got a friend or you've had an experience or one time this happened to you. I know that. Like that's part of your table talk time that you'll do. So it's a question, not a commentary or a story. It's also short and clear. I'm sorry if you can't read that very well. It's short and clear. And it seeks clarification or new information. In other words, if I'm not clear about something, please tell me, right? What do you mean by that? And then last one is, it has general appeal, so others will be helped by the answer. Okay, it has general appeal, and so others will be helped by the answer. Does that make sense? So if you want to know more about OIC, and I'll leave this on here for a minute, but if you want to know more about OIC, the website is discoveroic.org. Discoveroic.org. I still see some people writing. I don't want to.
It's on the sheet.
Is it on the sheet?
Yeah. No, we
have to fill it in. Well, the questions you had to fill in. The other stuff, I think, is on there. Yep. So website's on there. And then there's also a Facebook group, which is kind of fun to be in because you see these guys, you know, hey, I'm in Malawi this week, or I'm in Portugal, or I'm in, you know, Japan or whatever, and pray for this or pray for that. It's a neat group to be a part of because you get to see. And I think, man, wouldn't it be cool if like Ocala had enough trained ACBC certified counselors that Ocala we could get all of our teachers from here. Wouldn't that be cool? Like, okay, I'll lead the trip to Iceland, but I need teachers, you know, for 4 modules. So, you know, Chuck, can you come with me to module 1? Alan, can you come with me to module 2? Joe, can you come with me to module 3? Like, we could do, wouldn't that be cool to do? You know, where we invite all these other churches and people and organizations around, and we all come together and do it as one. That would be so fun to do. And the only one that actually speaks at every module is the one who's leading it. So in Ocala, I'll speak at every module. I think the next module, Chuck's doing 2, Steve's doing 2. I think I've only got 1, which is fantastic for me because I got all of them today. But we want other voices. And so I'm inviting other OIC guys. If you went through the training, remember Nicholas Allen? You guys remember Nicholas Allen that did some of the training before? Nicholas Allen speaks for OIC regularly. We haven't scheduled him yet. Ernie Baker, remember Ernie Baker from Jacksonville? Oh, Ernie Baker is actually one of the OIC directors. And so he's in Jacksonville. So we have a lot of people that could come and do this, and we want other voices to speak to you. And then just some general info if you need it. Discoveroic.org. My email, mike@cbcocala.org. You go on Twitter, and then the OIC group on Facebook. All right, so good questions. Do you have any of them? So here, one that somebody's been asking every time. What if we have to miss a session? You're fired, you're done. No, so you could do what my wife is going to do. She's going to have to listen to me for 4 hours. So we are recording. Ryan is recording. I've got the Rode mic on here. I've also got a mic on my phone here that I'm recording on. So hopefully between the two of them, we get one good one. Some people have asked if we can Zoom this. And no, it's not a conference. It's not a seminar. right? It's going to be very interactive. You guys are going to be doing a lot at your table with discussions. Plus, I want to be in and around you guys, and I don't have time. I can't now because there's so many chairs in the room. But like, I want to interact with you, and I can't really. Then we have to have somebody walking around with a camera like this, and it's just not the best thing to do. We're not going to video it. It's just going to be audio, which means it's not going to be really convenient. It's not going to be really good, and we know it, and we're okay with that. Because if you're going to get the most out of the training, then as best as you can, you need to be here. And so we will have it recorded, and it will be available. And when we record it, it'll be available to you guys, too. If you want to go back and listen to a certain session over again, then you can do that as well. So I don't know yet. It'll probably be on YouTube on a private channel with just the audio on there. Yeah, Christina will do that. And so Joe's got everybody's email, and so we'll make sure and email you the link to get everything you need. So, all right. Any questions other than if you have to miss sessions? Some people asked about payment. $80 for per person, which is really cheap. $150 for a couple. A couple could be mother, daughter, father, son, or whatever. And you know that pays for refreshments. I can't believe how expensive it is to make copies. Unbelievable. It was $300 to make just copies for this week. Are you kidding? And that was having them do it. If we did it, it was $547 or something. You got to be kidding me. So, but anyway, I mean, it is what it is, right? And we're bringing in speakers. And so the way OIC does things, which I think is just fantastic, is the speaker's responsible to get to the location. Once they're at the location, we're responsible for putting them up, giving them a meal, whatever their needs are. So Chuck's coming from Claremont. I don't know, maybe we'll go out to lunch afterwards. But Steve's coming from Louisiana, so we've got a hotel booked for him when he comes. So that's just the norm. And so the cost will go to that. When it's all said and done, CBC is going to take a loss, but we're fine with that. So we're good with that. Any questions other than the questions I asked? Everybody scared to ask questions? Okay.
When do we have to pay the $80?
Anytime you want.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so and if you go to biblicalcounseling.com, it'll have each phase of counseling. Phase two is your exams. I don't remember for sure now. Janky or Sandy could probably tell us for sure. When I took it, it was 28 theological questions and 28 counseling questions. All of them essay. All of them are a page and a half minimum long, and you have to cite your sources, which is no problem, right? So what we've done, so I didn't have this luxury, but so when Rebecca did hers, I said, Rebecca, before you turn them in, send them to me. And so then I was the bad guy, and I said, nah, that don't look right. And you know, and so I kind of graded all of hers and put a lot of red letters and red markers on there and stuff. She was a teacher, so I was just kind of getting her back for that. But you know, when she turned in her exams, she had zero rewrites, which is unheard of. When Janky did her exams, she did the same thing. She sent them to me, and I redlined hers. But it was just time-wise. I just couldn't look at them all. So she started sending them to Rebecca. Well, Rebecca's the teacher, so you know what she does. She just goes through. But when Janky finished, you had no rewrites, which again, that's unheard of. So you have a real advantage because we recognize that training you helps us, right? It helps our community. So I'm going to volunteer Rebecca and Janky and Sandy. We would be happy to help you in your exams. So, yeah. Yeah, Alan.
Where do we make payment?
You can just, yeah, Community Bible Church is fine. Yeah, and Joe or somebody is fine.
28 and 28 questions. I think I know the answer, but I'm 100%. It's not like a time test. You have as much time as it takes you
to
finish them. Okay.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's not like you start and have to finish paragraphs. You know,
right.
A time.
That's right. That's right.
Open
yep.
Book.
Open book. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Open book, expected to use your book.
Okay.
Yeah. And other books. So,
less than a year, several months.
Yeah.
But we're all different. We all work at different speeds. When we comment on your writing, it may not, we are not writing your exam for you. There may be comments like, this is a three-part question. You have only answered parts one and two.
All right, you see the teacher coming out, right?
Yeah.
All right. So we really do want to, but we want to help. We recognize that helps you. I would also say, and this is what I did. So I went through this training at Faith Church in Lafayette, Indiana, which has, did you do as well, Chuck?
Yes, I was a member.
Oh, you were? Okay. Well, good. I'm not talking bad about them. So fantastic. They are what we want to be. Right, very. A lot of the things they do in terms of their outreach to community, you know, free biblical counseling. I mean, we do free biblical counseling to anybody in our community. Free, like it, we don't charge. Well, there's a $25 deposit. Okay, but as long as you make every appointment, when you graduate, we give you your $25 back. I've actually never had anybody take the money back, right? Because we give them about $80 in books. You know, so we take a loss on that every single time, but it's not a loss, right? It's not a loss. Like, this is a way that we can really serve our community well. And so we want to do that. That's our goal. That's our desire. That's our heart. Our passion is to train biblical counseling trainers around the world, starting in Ocala, right? So, good. Any other questions? Here's my goal. 8 to 12 is our timing. But I hope in some of the modules, it looks like we'll probably go 8 to 1. But I want to get the most out of this. And if we can end early, then we're going to end early. And so I don't have a break scheduled right now, but we have time. So let's take 10 minutes at 9 o'clock. We'll come back in here. And there's plenty of refreshments. Bathrooms are right down here. And then we'll get going again.